You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Immediately, which is a great word. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick, and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were made well. Well, we have learned, and you have experienced in your own life, that we all have storms. Some of you might be in one right now. And whether it's your health, your finances, your job, your marriage, your family, trying to get life back on track after grief, or being in the middle of an important life transition, everybody has a storm. I've shared a bit of my storm from a few years back, and I walked out with a limp of some digestive issues, but I'll manage, and I'm very, very grateful. The disciples started this journey in their lives and into their storm when they heard Jesus' call to get into a boat and cross over to the other side, so they thought nothing of it. They figured they're headed to a hometown of some of the guys who were traveling together, some of these disciples. And immediately, a storm whips up on the sea. The wind and the rain and the waves, they begin to rage against them, and they have all kinds of questions. Why, Jesus? Why did this happen? When is it going to end? Where are you? Had to be going through their mind. So Jesus comes to them, and when they see him, because it's in the middle of the sea, it's a place of chaos, they think he's a ghost, but he speaks into the storm and he says, "Take heart, I am, fear not." At the beginning of the passage, Jesus is with the disciples, and at the end of the passage, Jesus is with the disciples. And we experience these storms just like they did. Storms are seasons in our lives that feel like life is out of control. And yet the good part is, on the other side of it, when you come out of that storm, you'll start to worship. Does it mean that you're never going to have another storm in your life again? It doesn't. Does it mean that when the next storm comes, you'll have more faith than you did in the past? Maybe, but you don't know. Does it mean that you're going to tackle the storm with perfection this time and meet it on, head on, as if there's no problem and no doubts and no fears and no anxiety? Definitely not. But something fundamentally changes in us. In fact, we see it in the passage today. Scripture says, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat, they worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When the storm comes to an end, what you'll find is that we can worship God for who he is and all that he's done. And I think that's what this end of Matthew passage really begins to teach us today. It's a passage about worship. I hear it in the song Oceans. Maybe you know this song. I want to invite you to stand and sing. Today will be a different kind of day. You can hear it. Let's sing this first verse together.
You call me out upon the waters. find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand.
You hear it? It's in the middle of the wind and the waves in the fourth watch of the night, somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. Jesus comes to them on the water, but long before he ever came, they had all kinds of questions. Why is this happening? Why am I experiencing this? I've tried to be faithful, God. Why am I dealing with this? Why did it go this way? When are you going to move? When is this going to end? When is this going to get better, God? When are you going to fix it? Have you had that moment in your life? Or can you keep worshiping in the midst of it? Let's pick up at the second verse.
Your grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where fear may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine.
See, that's where Jesus meets us, somewhere in the darkest part of the night, in the middle of the sea, after nothing has gone right. He comes and he speaks this word to us and he says, take heart, I am. Fear not, because I am. I made these winds. I made these waves. I know your situation. I know what happened in the beginning. I know what's going to happen in the end. I'm here with you in the middle of it. And somewhere in the middle of that storm, Peter says, command me. Command me, Jesus, to get out of this boat, to walk to you on the water. Command me to come. It's a moment of great faith. Getting out of the boat changes us, doesn't it? And there's something about what happens to us after that commitment, which just took place in our lives. Before it, there was fear, and after it, there's great faith. Before it, we go, am I going to make it? And on the other side of it, we say, it doesn't matter, because whether I make it or not, I know that you will intervene, because God, you already have intervened. So move, God. Move in our midst. Change our hearts. That's this realization that we can be commanded to get out of the boat, because Jesus isn't just some nice teacher. He's not some moral example. He's not your Sunday morning routine. He's Lord. He's Lord over wind. He's Lord over waves. He's Lord over your health. He's Lord over your marriage. He's Lord over your finances. He's Lord of all. That's why we can get out of the boat and commit. And if we'll do it, something will be different in our hearts and our minds and our lives after we do. We can sing this bridge with a different kind of faith in our hearts, because we realize that when Jesus is Lord of all, we can worship. We can get down on our knees and say, God, we're in awe of you. I'm overtaken by you. I'm overwhelmed by you. Because you're Lord. And when we can worship like that, it changes us. Something about us becomes different. So as we sing this bridge together this morning, as we sing, Spirit, lead me without borders, I pray that this would be the prayer of your heart. That God will move in your life, that God will change you, and in giving your heart to the Lord of all of creation, you would leave a different person today. Let's sing this bridge together.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever want. presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine.
When Peter got out of that boat, Jesus wasn't just a teacher. He wasn't somebody that he called rabbi. He was Lord. How about for you? Jesus can be a lot of different things for us. The question I want to leave you with at the midpoint of our teaching this morning is this: is he Lord? And what I want to encourage you now as we make our way towards the end of this teaching series, I want you to give him everything because he's Lord. Your storms and your fears and your failures and your anxieties and the things nobody knows about you and your struggles and your hopes and your dreams, give them to him because he's Lord. So we're going to take a moment in the middle of this worship gathering this morning to adopt a posture of worship. And whether it's seated or standing or arms up or arms not or at the front or kneeling in the aisle, I don't really care. That's between you and God. But I want you to pour out your heart to him this morning because he's Lord. Give him everything. This time's yours. God, we just want you to move. We pray that you would help us come to life. We pray, Lord, that you would bring healing where there is hurt and harm. We pray that you would bring hope where people fear despair. We pray, God, that you would bring faith when there seems to be no way. And God, we ask that you would do it because you're Lord. You're Lord over all, over wind and waves and storms and struggles and fears and failures. You're Lord over all of it. Change our hearts. Give us great faith to get out of the boat, to trust you. Command us, we pray. For you are our great I am. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said, amen. Thanks, Logan. I left out one really important detail of the storm. I kind of dripped it on you. Is that a word? I think it's a word. Sounds a little not Gen Z. I don't know, wherever generation I'm from. Anyway. See, the good part about the Gospels is there's four of them. And you have these beautiful moments where you have an account of something in one Gospel and it's shared in a different Gospel. And it's told in a slightly different way, but all the same key components are there. And some people will say, well, you know, that proves that... No, it doesn't prove a thing. It proves that you have different perspectives. And the beauty of that is that God uses all of it to enrich what it is that he's done. And so Matthew chapter 14 also takes place in Mark chapter 6. And an important detail that we're told is that Jesus was sending them to Bethsaida. That was where the boat was supposed to go. Now, Bethsaida was the hometown of Philip and Andrew. So in some ways, you have to picture that this was a homecoming. And that feels good, right? There's comfort at home. There's peace, not always, but there's supposed to be peace at home. And it had to feel, in that homecoming, like maybe it was a great time for them because Jesus was doing all these powerful things. Maybe for some of them, it was a period of great struggle because John the Baptist had just been beheaded a short time before. But they were supposed to go to Bethsaida, and then both Mark and Matthew record that after the storm on the sea takes place, they came to the land at Gennesaret. And you say, okay, well, who cares? That's really not that important. No, it really is. Trust me. Gennesaret. See, the storm... They were supposed to go northeast to Bethsaida, but they ended up northwest at Gennesaret. I have a question for you. Have you ever found in your life that at the end of a storm, God was supposed to take you northeast, but he took you northwest, and it was better than you ever could have imagined? And that out of you, or out of the situation, it left you a changed person? Like the thing you prayed for and prayed for and prayed for and prayed for and said, God, you got to do this. This is what I know I'm supposed to do. You thought you were going northeast, but he ends up taking you northwest. And when you end up northwest, you realize because of this commitment you made to get out of the boat, it left you a changed person. I know you all have felt this at some point. Well, that's exactly what happened. Now, see, before Jesus fed the multitude, and they left the feeding of the multitude, it's a place called Tabgha, and we're told that at the feeding of the multitude, he fed 5,000 men, which means something like 15 to 20,000 people. Right before the feeding of the multitude at Tabgha, notice what the disciples say to Jesus. When it's evening, the disciples came over and said, "Boss, this is a really desolate place. There is no 7-Eleven, McDonald's, Subway, all of the stuff that we want to go eat. So how about this? You send the crowds where? Send them away. Send the crowds away to the nearby towns and villages. We're peopled out. Y'all get peopled out at some point? You just go, all the introverts are going, finally.
It's okay to be peopled out.
Send them away, Lord. I mean, you already taught, we're done, we did our thing, time to roll on. And then what we're told is, when they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret. Now, that is not exactly the megalopolis of ancient Israel. In fact, it's a 3.5-mile square plot of land, and all we really know about it is that there's all kinds of olive trees and balsam plants there. Ooh, where do I sign up? You know, Capernaum, that would be cool. Jerusalem, maybe even better. Bethlehem, I mean, all kinds of places. But Gennesaret, really? It's a nowhere backwoods town, and when they arrive northwest instead of Bethsaida, which was northeast, it says in the scripture, when the men of that place recognized them, they sent around to how many in that region? All that region. And brought to him how many? All who were sick, and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. Now here's the thing I want you to not miss. Do they send the crowds away again? Why not? Because their hearts have been changed. Because they had been through a storm. They had been through a storm. And when they see person after person after person coming to Jesus in the storms of their health and wealth and struggle and spiritual battle, they're not going to stand in the way. They say, brother, sister, come on. Come on and touch the hem. It's an ancient prophecy from the book of Malachi that the rabbis ran with that said, when the Messiah comes, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. Wings meaning corner. Corner also being translated hem. In the hem of the garment, the rabbis said, would come healing. Why are people coming from all over the place to a little 3.5-mile square cruddy town? Because they believe Jesus is who? Lord. And the disciples before, where they said, look, man, we're tired. Go get your own Subway. Go find a McDonald's. They say, come on. Come on. You're welcome. See, the final and greatest outcome of grace we're given when a storm hits is worship of Christ and compassion for other people. It goes back to the very heart of what Jesus says. You can take all of the scriptures and summarize them. To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And implied in that is to worship. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. Implied in that is compassion. Worship of Christ and compassion for others. And that's where this passage leaves us. I've told you a bit about my storm. The storm happened in the year 2017. That was the day things started to get better. Yes, I did not have gray hair then. Thank you. And that was one of the roughest years of ministry I had, from my health to watching staff and some of the leadership I worked with absolutely get smoked by the devil for a while. I mean, it was awful. And here's the thing that I learned. I would not care to repeat it, but I am so glad to have walked through it because it changed me. It fundamentally changed who I was. And here's what I leave you with at the end of this teaching series. I'm just a guy. A guy with his own fears and flaws and failures just like you. And I've had a lot of the questions I started out with answered for me. And I don't want to wreck your day. I just have new ones now. And I've sat up just like you and wrung my hands in prayer. And I've had moments like you where I've wondered, how is this whole thing going to go? I know this, though. I know where my faith fails, Jesus is still Lord. I know when I can't see His goodness, He shows up in the middle of the storm and says, I am. And I know in the moment that I need him most, he'll be there. I think I've figured something out after 6 years of being with you. I am not here to make you comfortable. I am here to push you. And here's the good news. I can't grow this church, but we can together. And if we follow where Jesus leads us, and he's truly Lord of his church, and we say to the hurting and the broken, here's the way. Touch the hem of his garment. You are going to see God move in ways that you could never possibly imagine. Storm or not, that's worth it. So take the ride, St. Luke. If you're stuck in a storm, we would love to help you. We have so many support and care ministries. Talk to Frances Cadle. Frances, will you stand up? You need to get to know Frances. She's got a heart of mercy. Oh my gosh, it never quits. And if you need help and you need to get connected with a group, talk to Frances. She would love to help you. And she's sweet. Oh my goodness. I'm grumpy and whatever. You can't go wrong with Frances. I hope that's okay. I put you on the spot. You're not alone. Never will be. Get a community of people to surround you. Pray that the Lord will bring you clarity. Make the commitment to get out of the boat. And in the end, I guarantee you, you'll be led to worship of Christ and greater compassion for others. And St. Luke, if that's who we are, a people who love well, we can't fail. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. You're Lord over all. And so we give you our worship because you are rightly deserving of that worship today. And so, God, I pray that as we hear and sing and worship you in this last song, Here I Am, Lord, a classic amongst Methodist churches for years, I pray, Lord, you'd call us out of the boat, beyond our own contentment, beyond ease, to make the way for others, to open them up to the goodness of who you are, of all that you do, and of the change you want to bring in each one of us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.